Today's class will be given by His Grace Harileela Prabhuji on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.1.39. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavas Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your association and valuable time in this conference call. Thank you so much Prabhuji. You can take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you all. My Dandavat Pranam to all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis assembled on this conference call. Vanchakal Patarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, before I start from text 39, I just wanted to give you a little bit overview of the entire fourth canto. The third canto ends with the description of Lord Kapila's instructions to his mother Devahuti, and this fourth canto begins with the description of Manu's descendants. So we'll come to that. But my main point that I'm trying to give some synopsis on the fourth canto is about this particular canto has 31 chapters which describes the four goals of human life for liberation for common people, which are dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, kama, fulfillment of desires, moksha, liberation. So as we will notice as we go through this canto, chapter 1 to 7, first seven chapters, they describe about dharma, because the seven essentials purifications required, they are place, time, mantra, body, mind, senses and wealth. And then the next five chapters, 8 to 12, that they will describe regarding artha, because of five means sadhan are required for getting artha. You require blessing from parents, blessing from guru, you need to do some purusar, some endeavor, destiny is also plays a role, and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, that is without any doubt it is required. Then after that, next 11 chapters, 13 to 23, they will describe regarding the kama, because one can fulfill desires with help of 11 senses, which is 5 knowledge acquiring senses and 5 working senses, and the 11th is mind. And then the last 8 chapters, 24 to 31, will describe moksha, because material nature constitutes 8 separated material energies of the Lord. And one who surpasses that can liberate himself. Lord Krishna describes these 8 separated energies in Bhagavad Gita 7.4. So remember, this is Bhumi Rapi Nalo Vayu. That was described as 8 separated energies of Krishna. Now these four goals, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, depicts that if by following true dharma, one can use artha to satisfy kama and he can get liberation. So in the first 7 chapters, as I mentioned, dharma, regarding dharma, the story of Lord Shiva and Sati is described. The next 5 chapters of artha, that describes Dhruva's endeavor to get a bigger kingdom. And the next 11 chapters describe King Prithu's endeavor. And the last 8 chapters describe the story of Pracheta's for liberation. So this is kind of an overall view of this fourth canto. Now coming to this first chapter of this Srimad Bhagavatam, Maitreya Muni is describing the history of descendants of Manu Maharaj to Vidura. So, as we know from the previous lectures that you have heard, Manu and Satrupa had three daughters and two sons. So, one of them, daughter is Devahuti, like Akuti Prasuti Devahuti. Devahuti married to Kardama Muni. And Devahuti and Kardama have nine daughters. And one of them, and one son who is Kapil Bhagavan. Now, out of these nine daughters, Anusuya was married to Atri Muni. So, that episode is coming from 28 few verses. I'll go a little bit over it. But in Bhagavatam, if you notice, we find there are two primary dynasties described in the whole Bhagavatam. Sun dynasty and moon dynasty. The Sun dynasty begins with Kala and Marichi, in which Lord Ramchandra appeared. And moon dynasty begins with Anusuya and Atri, in which Lord Krishna appeared. So, when Maitreya Muni told Vidura that Anusuya gave birth to these three very famous sons, Soma, Dattatreya, and Durvasa, who were partial representations of Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva respectively. So Vidura was astonished to hear that, and he asked the questions to Maitreya Muni. He asked that, how is it that the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, who are the creator, maintainer and destroyer of the whole creation, became the offspring of the wife of Atri Muni? Then Maitreya Muni replies that when Lord Brahma ordered Atri Muni to create progeny, he with his wife Anusuya went to the valley of the mountain Ruksha to perform austerities. Now while performing severe austerities, Atri Muni desired to have a son exactly like the Lord of the universe, of whom he has taken shelter. So at that time, the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, Lord Shiva, came to the hermitage of the Atri Muni, who were seated on different carriers. All these Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva has different carriers, as you know. Lord Brahma has a swan, Lord Vishnu has a Garuda, and Lord Shiva has a bull. And each one was holding their hand, like Brahma was holding Kusa grass, Vishnu was holding disc, and Lord Shiva is like Damru, you know. So Atri Muni welcomed them by offering his prostrated obeisances and began to offer prayers. Then, in text 28, it says that he surprisingly asked them. Atri Muni was surprised by seeing them. So he says that, I thought of Supreme Person of Godhead desiring a son like him. How come all three of you have come here? Then in the text 30, it gives basically the explanation of why they appear, you know. Basically what it is that, I'll just cut short on that one. All three deities came to Atri Muni because all are the lords of the universe in three different modes. Since Atri Muni did not specifically mention whom he wanted, all three, Brahma, Vishnu and Lord appears. They came before the, Atri Muni. So, here, there's a couple points I want to mention about that Prabhupada writes in the purport of verse 30 regarding the one's determination is fulfilled according to the strength of one's devotion, which is very important. It's kind of a lesson that we have to learn from Angira and Anusuya, that Atri Anansaya. So the Atri Muni has a determination to get a son like Lord of the universe. And then he fulfill it, he did the austerity. So basically this aspect is also very important for us sadhakas, practicing devotee in Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, that there are some examples regarding, you can say, Dhruv Maharaj's determination. When he was chastised by his upper mother, then he also made a determination to get a big kingdom, you know, and then he went off for doing austerity. So on the way, the Narad Muni came and tested him, but he was very firm in determination. And then he said that, no, I want to do that, you know. Narad Muni allured him in so many ways, but he did not budge. And he wanted, so that determination, now according to that, he's going to do austerity and one's going to fulfill. So one point is very important regarding this. Also we know in Prabhupada's life that he made a determination to fulfill the mission of his guru and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as we have many times, we have heard this thing, that he really followed the verse which is given in Bhagavad Gita 2:41, which says, Vyavasayitme ka buddhihi ekihe kuru nandana. Bahu sakahi anantasya buddhayo vyavasayi nam. So, it says that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branch. So if you notice, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains the meaning of this Vyavasayitmika intelligence in his purport to the this 241 verse. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayitmika intelligence. Unfortunately, we don't have this faith and keep running around in different directions in an attempt to satisfy the people around us by our individual effort. But reality is that we can never satisfy others 100% by our effort. No matter whatever good deeds we do to them now, there will definitely some situation where we might commit some mistake as a result of which we will displease them. So though we do not like or want it, in material relationship, our mistakes are remembered longer than our good actions. That is an experience for everybody. Also, when we are involved in such activities, keeping other people in the center, we would have to enjoy both the good and bad results of whatever actions we do. But service rendered unto Lord Krishna with unflinching faith is completely different. Like as Krishna promises in previous verse 240 of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Svalpam alpa dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So in this endeavor, there is no loss or determination. And a little advancement on this path can perfect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So Krishna is so kind that he remembers even the little amount of service we do unto him. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita last chapter, he also says us, you know, sarva dharmam parita jamami kam saranam vaja aham karam sarva papya vya moksa syami ma asucha. He says, you abandon all the religious and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, this kind of determination, when we do devotional service, then depending on the level of devotional service, we get the result, you know. When we engage in devotional service, then the reactions of our good and bad deeds are also burned out of Krishna, out of they will be burned by Krishna, and so we will be free from those reactions as well. Most importantly, when we please Krishna, and then everyone will be pleased. For example, when Durvasa Muni and his group of disciples requested Pandava to offer them feast, then Pandavas were in exile in the forest. They were worried, as the Draupadi's Akshay Patra was empty. Fearing Durvasa Muni's anger, Draupadi prayed to Lord Krishna. Then immediately appeared before her and asked her to feed him. And Draupadi showed him the empty Akshay Patra, but Krishna took out of some kind of a leaf from the side of that pot and then he ate it. Now, as soon as Krishna ate it, his anger is satisfied. The Durvasa, hunger of Durvasa Muni and all the disciples also satisfied. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse that as by watering the root of the tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, community, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's action, then everyone will be satisfied. So, if people around us are displeased, then it is important to introspect ourselves and check whether we are displeasing Krishna. If our thoughts, words, and deeds are dovetailed for the pleasure of the Lord, then there is no way that people around us would be pleased. But how to please Krishna? Srila Prabhupada gives us the answer for this by quoting the verse by Srila Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur, which we sing every morning, right? He says, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasadat nagati kutopi, dhayam stuvam tasya yasastri sandhyam, vande gurusi charanarvindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the supreme personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada, in the concluding paragraph of the purport, says that the whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. So there is also in Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotee has to very careful in performing devotional service. Krishna conscious person knows that devotional service is a purification process. Since we have taken a shelter of this lotus feet of Lord Krishna, we may cross the ocean of birth and death depending on our sincere endeavor and mercy of Lord Krishna. Only requirement is we have to remain steady with determination in our sadhana. So that determination is I'm trying to emphasize, to remain steady in devotional service, we need constant hammering. Srila Prabhupada also gives us many punches through his writing. Like in Ramayana, if you take example, Hanumanji could cross the ocean because he took the shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. While crossing the ocean to find out where Sita Mataji is, so he was stopped by three demons, as you know, Sursa, Sinhika, and Lankini, at different places. But he could cross all the hurdles because he was under protection of Lord Rama. When Hanumanji was caught by the demons, he gave them a punch. And due to the touch of a pure devotee, their bodies got purified and they became devotees and started preaching and glorified Lord Rama. Our condition is also like the demons. We tend to live in ignorance, and that is why continuous hammering is required to remain steady in our devotional life. So in Bhagavad Gita, there is another verse, it gives the reference of 6:24, where it says that sannischayen yoktavyo yoga anirvana chetasah sankalpa prabhavan kamastaktva sarvana seshatah mansendriya gramam vinimya samantatah. The translation, it says that one should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of material speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides of the mind. So here, Srila Prabhupada quotes the powerful example in this purport of a sparrow. If you remember, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, it is given very nicely. It says that regarding the determination, on this point of determination, it says, as for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal. So the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick out the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and at last Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard it. He became compassionate toward his small sister bird, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs. Otherwise, he himself took up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this and returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. So Srila Prabhupada explained that bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness may appear to be a very difficult job, but if anyone follows the principle with great determination, success is sure for the rigid practitioner. And Lord will help, Lord will surely help. God help those who help themselves. Because Rupa Goswami also, regarding this, he is a Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Yoga, Rupa Goswami, in his Nectar of Instruction, writes the verse, Utsahat Nishchayat Dairiyat Tattat Karma Pravartanat Sangha Tyagat Sato Vrutte Sadbir Bhaktir Prasidhyati. So one can execute the process of Bhakti Yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance, and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in activities of goodness. So this are the, we can see in Prabhupada also how he made his lifetime preparation to fulfill the desire of his guru and also to fulfill the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, because this Kali Yuga is, there is no any other way except chanting the holy name of the Lord. And our root is that Prabhupada has started this movement by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And those who has come up to the level of, you know, they have earned some sukruti, like agyat sukruti, pious activities. And as a result, they joined Prabhupada. We see now this ISKCON movement has been around for in so many countries by now, you know. And Hare Krishna movement is so much popular, and it will get popular as time goes, because Prabhupada has given such a system and such a process that people will definitely get success in following these things. So this is regarding that thing, and then I will read today's from verse text 39, as Mataji has instructed me. So in text 39, kratorapi kriya bharya valkilyanu suyata rosin sastri sastrani jvalato brahma tejasa. Translation: Kratu's wife Kriya gave birth to 60,000 great sages named the Valkalyas. All these sages were greatly advanced in spiritual knowledge, and their bodies were illuminated by such knowledge. Purport: Kriya was the sixth daughter of Kadambuni, and she produced 60,000 sages who were known as Valkalyas because they all retired from family life as vanprasthas. Text 40. Urjayam jagnire putra vasisthasya parantapa chitraketu pradhanaste sapta brahmashayo malaha. The great sage Vasistha begot in his wife Urja, sometimes called Arundhati, 7 spotlessly great sages headed by the sage name Chitraketu. Text 41. Chitraketu hu surosthischa virja mitra evacha ulmano vasugrudhyano dhiman saktyadayo pare. The names of these 7 sages are as follows: Chitraketu, Surochi, Virja, Mitra, Ulban, Vasubrudyan, and Dhyuman. Some other very competent sons were born from Vasistha's other wife. Urja, who is sometimes known as Arundhati, and was the wife of Vasistha, was the 9th daughter of Kadambuni. Text 42. Chittistvartavarna patni lebe putram drutavratam dadhyastam asvasirasam brugor vasam nibodhame. Chitti, wife of the sage Atharva, gave birth to a son named Asvasira by accepting a great vow called the Dhyanj. Now you may hear from me about the descendants of the sage Bhrugu. The wife of Atharva, known as Chitti, is also known as Santi. She was the eighth daughter of Kardama Muni. Text 43. Bhruguhu khyatam mahabhagah vapnyam putranati janat dhataram cha vidhataram sriyam cha bhagavat paramparam. Translation. The sage Bhrugu was highly fortunate. In his wife known as Khyati, he begot two sons named Dhata and Vidhata, and one daughter named Sri, who was very much devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 44. Ayatim niyatim chaiva sute merustayoradat tabhyam tayor bhavatam mrukandah pranayevacho. The sage Meru had two daughters named Ayati and Niyati, whom he gave in charity to Dhata and Vidhata. Ayati and Niyati gave birth to two sons, Mrukunda and Prana. Text 45. Markandeyo Mrukandasya Prana Veda Siramunihi Kavischa Bhargavo Yasya Bhagavan Nusanasutaha. From Maharaj Markandeya Muni was born, and from Prana, the sage Vedashira, whose son was Ushna Sukracharya, also known as Kavi. Thus, Kavi also belonged to the descendants of the Bhrugu dynasty. Text 46-47. Tayete munayah akshatta lokans sagair bhavayan esa kardamo dhavitra santana kathistava srunavata sraddhanasya sadhya paparaha paraha prasutim manavim daksa upeyemehi atmajaha. My dear Vidur, the population of the universe was thus increased by the descendants of the sages and the daughters of Kardama. Anyone who hears the descriptions of this dynasty with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. Another of Manu's daughters, known as Prasuti, married the son of Brahma named Daksha. Text 48. Tasyam sasarja duhitruhu sod samalochanaha tayodasad bhagari tayodasadad dharmaya tatai kamadnaye vibhuhu. Daks begot 16 very beautiful daughters with lotus-like eyes in his wife Prasuti. So as we know that Devuti and Kardam has three daughters, Devuti, Akuti, Prasuti. So we have done the Akuti, now this is Prasuti and Daksa, and in turn they have 16 beautiful daughters, and 13 were given to the marriage to Dharma, and one daughter was given to Agni. And 59-52. Pitrubhya ekam yuktebhyo bhavai ekam bhavachide sraddha maitri daya santis tis pusti kriyonnatihi buddhir medati tikshai murti dharmasya patnaya sraddha suta subham maitri prasadam payam tadaya Sante sukamram tusti smayam pustir suyata yogam kriyon darpa martha buddhirya suyata मेधा स्मृति तितिक्षा तु क्षेमं हि प्रश्रयं सुतं मूर्तिः सर्वगुणोत्पत्तिर्नारायण ऋषिः. Translation. One of the remaining two daughters was given in charity to the Pitrulok, where she resides very amicably, and the other was given to Lord Shiva, who is the deliverer of sinful persons from material entanglement. The names of the 13 daughters of Daksha who were given to Dharma are Shraddha, Maitri, Daya, Shanti, Tushti, Pushti, Kriya, Unnati, Buddhi, Medha, Titiksha, Hri, and Murti. These 13 daughters produced the following sons. Shraddha gave birth to Subha, Maitri produced Prasada, Daya gave birth to Abhaya, Shanti gave birth to Sukha, Pushti gave birth to Mudha, Pushti gave birth to Smaya, Kriya gave birth to Yoga, Unnati gave birth to Darpa, Buddhi gave birth to Artha, Medha gave birth to Smriti, Titiksha gave birth to Kshema, and Hri gave birth to Prasraya. Murti, a reservoir of all respectable qualities, gave birth to Sri Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we'll stop here and take any questions or comments or any reflections from what you have heard. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all good Srila Prabhupada and Guruji. Thank you very much for your wonderful education. Gopinath ki jai ho. Thank you so much, Prabhupada. Your explanation for the fourth canto of summarization of fourth canto was so wonderful. So thank you so much, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else have any comment or questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. This is the last verse. It's so interesting, Prabhupada. This you read 49 to 52, uh-huh. How the 13 daughters of Daksha who are given to Dharma and Shraddha, this all they produce just contemplating, so nice, produce following the sun. Shraddha gave birth to Subha, so all these things, so when we develop these qualities we automatically get this kind of things. Daya gave birth to Avaya, Shanti gave birth to Sukha. All these things is so interesting, Prabhu. Titiksha gave birth to Shima. It's all this. You can explain maybe a little bit more in this verse, Prabhu, if you have any things to say.
What is the last? I didn't hear the last sentence you said.
Can you elaborate a little bit more in this verse? Last one is very interesting this time.
Oh, from 49 to 52. Well, as you know, the remaining daughters was given in charity to Pitruloka. Yeah, the. What is it that you want to know about it?
Well,
the names of 13 daughters of Daksha.
Yes, Prabhu. They are themselves produced. And they gave the birth. It's like since Since all the systematically they are putting all the tithics gave birth to the thema, all these things is actually this a byproduct here. Yeah? So when we have that quality, the thema is a byproduct. Means all these things, can you elaborate a little bit more, Prabhu? That's
See the prasuti. This is regarding, if they talk about prasuti is one's vistar. So Daksha and Prasuti has 16 daughters, as it is said here. So 13 were given to thirteen daughters were given to Dharma, and then in Pitru Loka they have given to Swada, and Shankar Mahadev they gave Sati, and Swaha they gave Agni. So that is how the 16 daughters are married, you know. 13 to one person and other 3 to 3 individual. And then they describe about there are 13 daughters, you know, and they have given 13 daughters sons' names also here. As it is said that Shraddha has a Subha, Maitri has Prasad, Daya has Abhay, Shanti has Sukh, Tushti has Mood, Pushti Smay, Kriya has Yog, Unnati has Darpa, Buddhi has Artha, Medha has Smruti, Titiksha Kshema, Lajja has Prashay. The last one, third in Murti, he gave birth to two sons, and that is Nar Narayan. Now, regarding the Nar Narayan, if you remember, they were both. Both brothers, they went to Gandhamadan Parvat for austerity. So actually, they are the Aunsa, you know, basically they are the that same Yugal, again they came in the Yadukul Bhushan Krishna and Kurukul Tilak Arjun. They came as that, and then they have taken the birth from this earth. So this is this Nar Narayan is in Bhadrikasram, but I mean later on the same came as a Krishna and Arjun, as we know from the history of the Bhagavatam, you know. And then maybe there is there are Pitru Ganas, they are four. Like Agni, Bahirsa, Swada, Somya, and actually Srila Prabhupada quotation is the fourth kind of Srimad Bhagavatam described secondary creativity. So these are the, I mean, there is nothing else, but actually it is the genealogical, or you know, the Maharaj Manu's daughters, you know, here the Prasuti, and then we will know later on about Devhuti, you know.
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Yeah, I think Sati, yeah. We read the Devhuti in third canto. Yes. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much. This is Damodaran Das for a very nice lecture, especially the overview you gave in the beginning, that the fourth canto is divided into four parts, according to Dharma, Artha, Moksha, and Kama and Moksha. Prabhu, yes. why do you think Prabhupada labeled as creation of the fourth order? What does he mean by creation of the fourth order? I couldn't find an explanation.
The fourth canto is creations of the fourth order, right? Yeah.
Right. There must be a specific reason why he.
There must be some reason. Yeah, you're right. That's a good research question. Probably we'll look into that. Creation.
So
of
what
the fourth.
What I thought of was, you know, because it describes about the various genealogy of Dhruv Maharaj and all. He is actually the grandson of Brahma, so he becomes the fourth generation. Brahma being the first generation, then you know the Manus, and then Uttanapada, and then Dhruva. So it begins the fourth generation. So I thought of that maybe the reason why it's called the
order. Yeah, it could be. We can look more into it. Yeah, I think from Manu and Satrupa, the human race starts from Manu. Before that, I mean, like biological generation, biological progeny and all this kind of thing, that is start from Manu and Satrupa. Before that, Brahma produced, you know, from Manas, from this, from that, you know, without the help of female, you know, part.
Right,
but Manu
right,
and Satrupa, right. From that point on, you know, we see that biological or, you know, by the combination of male and female, you know, the generation has been started from that point. Manu has also given a lot of codes for mankind, for human, you know, Manu Sanhita, probably you have heard about that scripture. Manu Sanhita is given by Manu, you know, who is nothing but that is the codes to live, you know, how to live a human life, so on.
Right. Each one also has its own code. Yes. Right. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, anybody else have anything? Any comment? So probably, Mataji, it is time to end the call here.
Yes, Prabhu. Pancha Kalpurvasya Devasindhu Vayakcha Patitanam Pavnevyo
Vayakcha Namo Namah. Thank you all for listening.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.